Today, we're diving into a topic that every entrepreneur, creative, and honestly, every human being wrestles with: surviving your inner critic. You know that voice, the one that tells you that you're not good enough, not ready enough, not smart enough. You know what? Let's give that voice a name. Let's call her Betty. Betty is that voice that turns a tiny seed of doubt into a full-blown narrative about why you can't, shouldn't, or won't succeed. Yeah, we're coming for you today, Betty. And by the end of this episode, my goal is for you to feel empowered to stop believing everything you think, put our friend Betty in her place, and step fully into your power. Welcome to Thrive Anyway, the podcast for creative entrepreneurs with big dreams who know that success isn't a straight line. It's a beautifully messy journey. In case we haven't met yet, my name is Manny Dobuzinski, a busy Midwest boy mom and recovering perfectionist who turned my creativity into multiple six-figure handmade and print-on-demand businesses, generating over $1 million in revenue along the way. From the big wins to the messy middles and all the lessons and laughs in between, we're here to show up, take action, and prove that no matter what life throws at you, you can thrive anyway. Let's get into it. Let me set the stage with a story that completely shifted how I think about our own inner dialogues. Years ago, in my HR leadership days, I attended countless conferences on leadership and workplace culture. Boring stuff, but it was kind of my jam. One of the more memorable speakers I remember was Cy Wakeman, a self-proclaimed drama researcher. She said something that struck me deeply in her presentation: stop believing everything you think. Now, she's not the first person to coin this, but at the time, this advice was kind of revolutionary to me. At the time, I applied it, of course, primarily in workplace settings, especially when mediating disputes between employees. Often, conflicts arose not from actual words or actions being exchanged, but from assumptions. One person assuming the worst about someone else's intentions. Those thoughts weren't actually rooted in reality. They were stories people created in their own minds. And that was the whole principle of that presentation from Cy. And those stories, they created unnecessary drama and prevented the ability to work together. When you actually talked about facts and what was actually said or done, the reality was almost always quite different. When people stopped believing what they thought. Fast forward to today, and I realized how this principle applies far beyond the workplace. As entrepreneurs, we are masters of storytelling, but not always in a good way. We tell ourselves stories about why we're not good enough, why our ideas won't work, or why success is reserved for someone else. And if we're not careful, those stories, those false, unhelpful narratives can hold us back from taking the very actions that lead to growth. But here's the truth. That voice of Betty in your head, she might even sound like you, but she's just noise, not fact. And the more we believe her, the more we let her keep us small. So let's talk about a few ways the inner critic shows up. Have you ever thought, who am I to be doing this? Say hello to our friend imposter syndrome. This sneaky question and the answers that you often follow up with convinces you that you're a fraud, even when you've put in the work and deserve your seat at the proverbial table. Maybe you've just launched a new product, and instead of celebrating, you're second-guessing whether it's good enough. Or perhaps you're looking at others in your industry, comparing yourself, and thinking they're way more qualified, more experienced, or more deserving than you. The problem, imposter syndrome, keeps you from fully owning your success and can even cause you to downplay your accomplishments. Research by Dr. Valerie Young, author of The Secret Thoughts of Successful Women, highlights how common imposter syndrome actually is, especially among high achievers. Even icons like Maya Angelou and Albert Einstein have admitted to feelings of fraudulence despite their groundbreaking work. Maya Angelou famously said, "I have written 11 books, but each time I think, they're going to find out now. I've run a game on everybody and they're going to find me out." Let's pause and think about that. Maya Angelou, one of the most celebrated writers and poets of all time, felt like a fraud. That alone should tell us how universal this feeling is, and more importantly, how wrong it can be. Imposter syndrome doesn't discriminate. It affects people at every level of success, whispering these lies about our worth and capabilities. And those lies, they're holding you back. The truth is, imposter syndrome distorts your perception of yourself by focusing on your self-doubt rather than your achievements. It tells you that you've been lucky rather than capable, or that your work isn't enough, when in reality, the evidence of your success is all around you. Think about the projects you've completed, the hurdles you've overcome, the many things you've learned so far, and the value you've provided. Those are facts, tangible proof of your abilities. You may not be making huge sales yet, and that's okay, but you've made progress and you have had successes and wins along the way. The voice of imposter syndrome, though loud, is not based in reality. Here's the kicker. Every time you let imposter syndrome win, you're dimming your light. You're shrinking away from opportunities that could take you to the next level. But what if, instead of giving in to that voice, you decided to make your own seat at the table? What if you reminded yourself that the work you've done, the blood, sweat, and tears you've poured into your craft, is why you deserve to be here? Because you do. By reframing your inner dialogue to recognize your effort and value, you can start to shift away from those false narratives. Instead of, "Who am I to be doing this?" try saying, "Who am I not to?" The world needs your unique perspective and talents. Don't let the inner critic keep you from sharing them. Let's look at what else our friend Betty might say. Have you ever heard the faint whisper of, "What if I try and it doesn't work out?" Fear of failure often whispers this question right before you're about to take a big leap, like starting a new business, launching a new product, or trying something new. It's that sneaky voice that freezes you in place, convincing you that it's better to stay safe than risk falling flat on your face. This fear can paralyze you, keeping you stuck in the planning phase indefinitely, where your ideas feel safe but never see the light of day. The truth is, failure is not the enemy. It's an essential part of growth. Research from the University of Scranton suggests that fear of failure is a leading cause of procrastination, with many people avoiding taking risks to protect their self-esteem. Motivational speakers like Brené Brown emphasize the importance of vulnerability and courage, pointing out that failure is a natural and necessary part of innovation. As she says, you can't have innovation, creativity, or change without failure. Think about it. Every time you avoid trying, you're not really avoiding failure. You're avoiding the chance to succeed. Your inner critic is wrong because it frames failure as the end rather than a stepping stone. What if we flipped the narrative? Instead of thinking, "What if I fail?" try asking, "What will I learn if I fail?" because failure brings lessons, and every lesson brings you that much closer to success. Thomas Edison famously said, after countless attempts to invent the light bulb, "I have not failed. I've just found 10,000 ways that won't work." That's not just optimism, my friend. It's grit. Every stumble you take proves that you're in the game, that you're trying, learning, and growing. And isn't that the point, to keep growing along the way? Here's the thing. The most successful people you admire have failed more times than you've probably even tried. They've collected failures like badges of honor because they know that failure isn't a dead end. It's a signpost pointing you towards progress. As I've said before, fail forward, fail fast, learn faster. Don't let the fear of a misstep keep you from the dance. Put yourself out there. Let the fear of staying stuck become greater than the fear of falling. And finally, when that voice repeats in your ear, "It's not ready yet. I need more time." Perfectionism shows up when you keep tweaking a product, project, or idea endlessly, waiting for that mythical perfect moment. You tell yourself you just need a little more time, but weeks turn into months and you're still stuck in the same place. Sound familiar? This leads to missed opportunities because you never actually launch or do the thing that you're trying to do. The reality? Perfection doesn't exist, and waiting for it only holds you back. Research from Dr. Thomas Greenspan, an expert on perfectionism, how's that for a job, shows that perfectionism is often rooted in a fear of judgment and a need for approval. And one of my favorite authors and motivational speakers, Mel Robbins, addresses this beautifully in her work, emphasizing that imperfect is better than incomplete. She reminds us that taking action, even imperfectly, is the key to building momentum and learning through experience. Think about that for a second. When was the last time you actually grew from obsessing over getting something perfect? Growth comes from doing, not overthinking. If you've read the description for this podcast, you might have caught me saying that I am a recovering perfectionist. And it's true. For as long as I can remember, perfectionism has been part of who I am. But I am no longer letting it define me. Instead, I'm acknowledging it and releasing its power over me by not letting that inner voice take over. And let me tell you, there have been plenty of moments when it's gotten in the way. None of us are immune to this burden of feeling like we need to do more or wait for the perfect moment. Perfectionism convinces you that you're protecting yourself from failure, but in reality, it's preventing you from growing. Progress always beats perfection. Think of it this way. Every step forward, no matter how small or imperfect, is a step closer to achieving your goals. And here's the truth. Those small, imperfect steps are the ones that create the momentum you need to keep going. So here's your challenge. In fact, I'll do it with you. The next time you catch yourself saying, "I need more time," stop and ask yourself, "What am I really waiting for? What do I need that time for?" Because chances are, the answer isn't more time. It's courage. Courage to embrace the messy, imperfect process of moving forward. And let me tell you, messy progress is still progress, and it's what gets you closer to your dreams. Here's the truth. Your inner critic, remember our friend Betty? She's loud, she's persuasive, and relentless. But she is not right. Most of what she says is a distortion, a trick that keeps you playing small. She thrives on fear and doubt, magnifying the what ifs and whispering every possible worst case scenario. She's the voice that turns a single misstep into a catastrophe in your mind. And here's the thing, if you believe everything you think, you're handing Betty the keys to your dreams and telling her to drive. But what if you took back the keys? What if you challenged the stories your inner critic spins and refused to let it define what's possible for you? Imagine the freedom of stepping into a place of curiosity instead of fear. That's the transformation waiting for you when you stop believing everything you think. It's not about silencing the voice completely. It might always be there. It's about learning to turn the volume down and choosing to move forward and thrive anyway. So how do you stop believing everything you think? Here's the good news. You can overcome that inner critic. It might feel loud, but it's not undefeatable. And here's the best part. Transformation doesn't happen in one grand gesture. It's in the small, intentional steps that you take every single day. When you decide to stop letting your inner critic drive, you give yourself permission to rewrite the script. So start questioning your thoughts. Start with Cy Wakeman's mantra, stop believing everything you think. When a critical thought comes up, pause and ask yourself, is this true? What are the facts? What evidence do I have for or against this thought? Is this thought helping me move forward or is it holding me back? The key here is to treat your thoughts like hypotheses, not facts. Think about it. Just because something pops into your mind doesn't mean it's true or even helpful. Imagine you're a detective analyzing clues to uncover the truth. Does this thought align with reality, or is it just fear dressed up as logic? For example, if your mind whispers, you're not good enough, challenge it. Ask yourself, good enough compared to what? Chances are your inner critic is using vague, impossible standards to hold you back. Another powerful way to question your thoughts is to ask, what would I tell a friend if they had this thought? We tend to be much kinder and more rational with others than we are with ourselves. If a friend doubted their abilities, you would probably remind them of their strengths, their efforts, and their wins. So why not extend that same grace to yourself? Remember, your inner critic thrives on unchecked assumptions. The moment you shine a light on those thoughts and challenge them, they start to lose their power. It's not about erasing every negative thought, but learning to meet them with curiosity and compassion. The more you practice this, the easier it becomes to separate fact from fiction and to move forward with confidence. Next, I want you to reframe your narrative. Turn your inner critic into your inner coach. When the voice says, you're not ready, respond with, I'm learning as I go, and that's enough. Replace negativity with affirmations rooted in growth and possibility. This shift isn't about ignoring challenges or pretending everything is perfect. It's about choosing a narrative that empowers you rather than holds you back. Let's break it down a little further. Your inner critic loves to frame things as absolutes. You're not ready becomes a blanket statement that feels final. But what if you reframe that as, I'm not ready yet, but I'm gaining the skills to get there? See the difference? One stops you in your tracks while the other opens the door for for growth. Don't forget the yet. Another way to reframe is to find the opportunity in the doubt. For instance, when your inner critic says, "You're going to fail," answer back with, "If I fail, I'll learn something valuable that will help me succeed next time." It's about creating a mental environment where failure isn't the enemy, it's part of the process. Reframing also means practicing self-compassion. Instead of criticizing yourself for not being perfect, acknowledge your effort and progress. When you catch yourself spiraling into negativity, pause and ask, "What's the kindest thing I can say to myself right now?" The more you practice this, the easier it becomes to meet challenges with grace and resilience. Remember, your inner narrative shapes your reality. By choosing to rewrite the script, you're taking back the power to move forward with confidence, even when the path isn't perfectly clear. Next, we're going to take aligned action. The best way to silence your inner critic is to prove it wrong. Action is your antidote to fear and doubt. But again, it doesn't have to be a giant leap. Start with one small courageous step towards your goals. Maybe it's listing that product that you've been agonizing over the design on for way too long. Maybe it's reaching out to a mentor or simply writing down your ideas for the first time. Whatever it is, remember that even the smallest actions create momentum. Here's the magic of aligned action. It reinforces a new narrative. Each step you take sends a message to your inner critic that it doesn't have control anymore. Fear says you'll fail. Action says, "Hold my coffee and watch me try." Doubt says you're not ready. Action says, "I'm ready enough to start." And don't underestimate the power of momentum. Action builds confidence, which makes the next step easier. Before you know it, you've strung together a series of small wins and actions that lead to bigger breakthroughs. The process doesn't have to be perfect. It just has to move you forward. Ask yourself, what is one action I can take today that aligns me with the person or the business that I want to become? Then do it. Don't overthink it. Don't wait for permission. Just take the step and let that momentum carry you closer to your goals. And speaking of permission, give yourself permission. Here's a little secret. You don't need anyone's permission to be empowered. It's yours to claim. But let's be honest, sometimes it feels like we're waiting for someone to tell us it's okay to go after what we want, doesn't it? We wait for validation. We wait for a sign, for that perfect moment when the stars are aligned. Or we ask someone, "Is this okay?" But here's the truth. You are the only one who can give yourself that permission. Step into your power by owning your unique skills, experiences, and perspective. No one else has your story, your voice, or your way of seeing the world. That's your edge. And when you recognize that, you realize there's no reason to hold back. Write your own permission slip, literally, if you need to, and make it official. I give myself permission to dream big and take bold steps towards my goals. Think about what's holding you back right now. Is it fear of judgment? Doubt that you're ready? Maybe it's the belief that you need more credentials, more experience, more something. But here's the thing. If you wait until you feel 100% ready, you'll never start. Growth doesn't come from waiting. It comes from doing. Giving yourself permission is the ultimate act of self-trust. It's saying, "I may not have all the answers yet, but but I trust myself to figure it out as I go. That's empowerment. And the moment you claim it, you unlock a whole new level of possibility. And our dear friend Betty takes a back seat. Because the truth is, the world doesn't need you to be perfect. It needs you to show up as you are, right now, and share what only you can bring. And finally, surround yourself with encouragement. If you caught the last episode, we talked about how burnout and doubt thrive in isolation. Well, so does your inner critic. Think about it. When you're alone with your thoughts, that little voice has free rein, and we often give it way too much power. It magnifies doubts, replays mistakes, and whispers lies about your worth. But here's the good news. Community is one of the best ways to counteract it. When you surround yourself with people who lift you up, their encouragement becomes almost like a shield against negativity. These are the people who remind you of your capabilities when you forget, who cheer you on when you're scared to take bold steps forward. They see the potential in you, even when you don't see it in yourself. And here's the transformative part. Being around that kind of energy doesn't just protect you from self-doubt, it inspires action as well. So ask yourself, who's in my corner? Are you surrounding yourself with voices that empower you or ones that reinforce your inner critic's lies? If your current circle feels more draining than uplifting, it's time to seek out some new connections to add to the mix. Join an online group, find a mentor, or connect with peers who understand the journey you're on. The right community doesn't just support you, they challenge you to grow, dream bigger, and keep going. Remember, encouragement isn't just about hearing kind words. It's not about the pat on the back. It's about being reminded of your purpose and your potential. Here's the bottom line. Our gal Betty will always have something to say, but it's up to you whether you listen. That voice thrives on keeping you stuck in fear and doubt. But here's the truth. It's not a reflection of your potential, your worth, or your future. Remember, just because you think it doesn't make it true. You are the author of your story, and every single day you have the power to write a new chapter. So, what if today you chose to listen to a different voice, the one that says, I can try, I can grow, I am enough. The one that reminds you that courage isn't about being fearless, it's about showing up despite the fear. And if no one's told you lately, let me be the one to say it. You are capable, you are worthy, and you are ready to step into your power and thrive as an entrepreneur. So go out there and do your thing, not because your inner critic says you're ready, but because you've decided you're ready. There is strength in that decision. There is freedom in choosing yourself. And there is transformation waiting on the other side of action and where you can thrive anyway. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of Thrive Anyway. If you found today's conversation helpful, I'd love for you to share it with your favorite business bestie or leave a review on your favorite podcast platform wherever you're tuning in. Your support helps me reach more entrepreneurs just like you. And don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. I'll be back in the next one with more tips, stories, and encouragement. Until then, keep showing up, keep taking action, and choose to thrive anyway.